Good morning, everyone, and welcome back to The Bedroom Entrepreneur. Super excited for today's episode. I had the privilege of having Justin McDonough on the podcast this week. Just a little bit about Justin. He's also known as Dunna or Dunna Did It on the internet. He's a Canadian who knows no bounds when it comes to creativity. He's a music producer, recording engineer, and multi-instrumentalist and songwriter for his day job. He also does freelance work in photography and videography. And on top of all of that, he also has a YouTube channel where he uploads weekly videos to inspire and teach people about all of his different creative fields, much like what I do. His business, Resonate Music School and Studio, has been open for 5 years now in Edmonton, Alberta, Canada, and has won awards for its work in the music school, as well as several awards for the work in music production. So when I came across Dunna on YouTube, I immediately reached out because, like I just said, he's a super, super creative guy, and we both share a background in music. So today on the podcast, we decided to talk a little bit about sort of making your own opportunities by doing the things that you love and following your passions. We go into a little bit about how to do it. I guess not how to do it, but that you should do it wisely and do it in a smart way. And those opportunities will open up as long as you are living out your passion and people can see that you're really enjoying what you're doing. So without too much of insight into the episode, let's go right into it. I hope you enjoy this podcast with Dunna Did It. And without further ado, here it is. What is your last name, Justin?
McDonough. Which is where the Dunna comes from. You got
perfect.
It.
Yeah, I was actually going to ask you about that. Was Dunna kind of like a childhood name?
It's a high school nickname. It's like I forget when I was in high school. I always tell this story like people just got lazy and didn't want to say the Mick, so they just said Dunna.
That's pretty funny. So were you doing music stuff in high school as well?
Yeah, like from a pretty early age, like I think I was like 12 or 13 when my mom was a singer in a wedding band, so there was always lots of music in our house and stuff.
Nice.
And she did that for 10, 15 years or something like that. And
sure. So
she like had a guitar laying around and like taught me Sweet Home Alabama, and it was, the rest is kind of history. And yeah, I picked up drums after that, and it never stopped.
Heck yeah, that's awesome. Yeah, I sort of similar, like I picked up my dad's guitar in, I guess, middle school, and literally like as soon as I picked it up, it was like Jack Johnson was like my main dude at the time.
Okay.
But I like just started rolling and it like hasn't stopped. It's crazy how like when you become like so passionate and you sort of find that thing in your life, how quickly you like progress and like you never stop. It's insane.
Totally, absolutely.
So I'm like totally going off my questions here. Let's start at the beginning.
Okay.
Just for fun, man, I know you're a coffee drinker. What is like your favorite kind of coffee, and what is your favorite way to make/drink coffee?
Gotcha. Okay. I don't experiment too much anymore with like different kinds. The stuff that I drink on a daily basis is Salt Spring Island. It's from it's roasted in Canada in BC here. And honestly, I buy it because first of all, it is fantastic coffee, definitely super high quality and tastes amazing. But I can buy it at Costco in 2 pound bags for like $12 Canadian. So it's just like these, I can just get so much coffee because I go through it like crazy. My wife recently stopped drinking coffee and has switched over to like caffeinated teas in the morning because the coffee just wasn't agreeing with her. And so now I'm on my own, but I still go through it like crazy. But I really love Kicking Horse Coffee, which is my old mug here is from Kicking Horse, which is also roasted in BC as well here in Canada. And so I don't know, maybe I'm a loyalist to Canada. And then as far as how I make it, I have a Chemex that I use. Actually,
cool.
It was a gift from my wife a bunch of years back, and I haven't looked back. And now it's like super popularized, and everybody on YouTube and stuff has a Chemex nowadays. So.
Yeah, it's just like that. It's kind of like old school. It's like the basis of, I don't know, it just feels so natural and like real. Like I've
totally.
Got so many different types of coffee makers and I don't have a Chemex. And like lately I've just been like, man, because a good buddy of mine always made his coffee with Chemexes, and it's always just so good. And like, I don't know, natural. It's awesome.
Yeah, it's nice. I mean, if you want to get real old school, you got to get like one of the socks that they used to. You just like throw some grounds in a sock and pour it through there. But yeah, this is a nice natural way to drink it.
Sure. So this podcast is called The Bedroom Entrepreneur, and I used to do videos like in my pajamas, like, because my wife's a teacher and she would get up at like 5 a.m. Yeah. And so I took that time to sort of like make my content for the week. So I would do it in my pajamas and I would always have like breakfast with me. So nice. Are you a breakfast guy? And so what's your favorite type of breakfast?
I am. Actually, I eat breakfast every day. I eat most of my, I'm like permanently hungry all the time. I eat most of my food before noon. I have, if you dig a little bit on my YouTube channel, there's a video called How I Lost 80 Pounds. And when I did this big transformation, I like got into the habit of like planning my meals, and like I'm a calorie counter. I use like an app for it and stuff. So I eat like 6 or 7 times a day, but lately I've noticed that I've been getting hungrier and hungrier earlier in the day, so like 4 of my 6 meals in the day are like before noon. But yeah, I eat like turkey, bacon and eggs every day, you know, and the protein shake and a protein bar and a, you know, just like I don't know where breakfast starts and ends for me, but
dude,
yeah,
you're like the hobbits, man. They have like first and second breakfast and like
exactly
second
they don't know
and all
about
that
second
stuff.
Breakfast. Yeah, no, that's definitely me. So
that's awesome, dude.
Yeah.
So do you make all that, or is it?
Yeah, I make pretty much everything. Like even the protein bars that I was talking about there, my wife and I eat them. We just like whip up a bunch of, there's like hemp protein and some peanut butter and a bunch of other stuff and throw it in the freezer for a bit. And yeah, so we try and make as much as we can. We've been trying to buy less and make more, kind of thing.
Sure. So for my audience here, and maybe, you know, you could share a little bit of this for your audience. Yeah. What's sort of your background? Obviously, you know, you got into music. Was that something you did like immediately that you sort of started becoming an entrepreneur through that? Or I guess what sort of sparked your entrepreneurial spirit and just the background of how you got to YouTube, where we are right now?
Yeah, I mean, it's, you know, when I was younger, I was always very much a self-starter in some ways. Like, I always knew that if I wanted to make things happen, I kind of needed to just, like, create my own opportunities, which is funny because actually that's kind of what I'm making a video today, and that's kind of what it's about, is like creating my own opportunities and stuff. So even when I was 13, it was like, okay, I play guitar now, I like writing songs, like let's go find a band. So it was like who's a drummer, who's a bassist in the school that I went to, and like just went and created that. And I think that kind of eventually rolled into being a little bit more entrepreneurial. And it's funny because it's hard to think of myself as an entrepreneur, and I can see how other people see it that way from the outside, but it's like, and maybe it's just like modesty or whatever, but it's hard to feel that way about myself. But like straight out of high school, I went straight into recording college. And then after recording college, I wanted to write music and learn that kind of side. So I went to a music college and was like playing drums and stuff. And when you're in a creative field like that, you kind of have no choice. But to be a little bit entrepreneurial, otherwise you won't get any work and you won't be able to survive. So it's partly, I think there is part of that built into me. I'm kind of like a half and half. I'm a creative for sure, and kind of a half entrepreneur that has been forced, because of the creative fields that I've chosen, has been like kind of forced to have to do that side of things. And I do enjoy most of it, sure any entrepreneur would say. It's like they come with the good and the bad, right? But yeah, so I think it's partly that I like doing it, but it's also partly that when you're in a creative sense, you're going to get forced into it, freelancing and all that kind of stuff. Like if you don't make the jobs happen, they don't happen. If you don't seize your own opportunities, it won't create more opportunities.
Sure. Yeah, and it's funny because for me, like in college when I was touring with the band and doing things like that, it's almost like you don't really even realize that you are running a business, because it's like you get that idea of like a band and like that type stuff, and you just think like, well, in order to get shows, you have to call venues and you have to like meet other bands and stuff. But that's all part of like the adult world and like building business and networking and things like that.
Absolutely. I think that's totally what I meant when I said like it's hard to feel like an entrepreneur, yeah. But then you like look at it from the outsider's point of view and you're like, yeah, I mean, I'm doing all that stuff, so I guess I am. Like, yeah.
Sure. So I guess, how has music affected the new YouTube stuff that you're doing? Or even, yeah, I guess we'll go with that. How has it affected the YouTube stuff? Like, for instance, for me, I think because I'm not really a music producer and I didn't go to school for music at all, it was more about the writing and the touring. And whenever we'd want to go record or go into a studio, the biggest thing for me and the guys was to get the most perfect sounding recording that we could. And when we're just starting out, right, that's like in your bedroom with one microphone and you only do as much as you can, so it's like not that great. And so when we start getting into studios, we start trying to find ways to get that, you know, if our song was to be played next to another song on the radio, would it sound to that level?
Yeah.
And so I think because that was such a thing for me for years, whenever I do a YouTube video or a piece of content, it's hard for me to not try to make it perfect every time. If
yeah,
that makes sense.
Because the whole, I have done that, not perfect kind of mentality.
Yeah, yeah. And I've tried, you know, I watch Gary Vee and those guys, obviously, and it's, you know, more about documenting and just getting something out, like you said, done not perfect. But has, like, your creation now, you know, with this artistic escape, you know, this YouTube channel, has it been influenced by music in any negative ways? I guess
negative ways. I don't know. I think everything that I learned from doing music, maybe not everything, but like a lot of things that I learned from doing music for so long has definitely carried over into what I'm doing now with more video and photography and that kind of stuff. Like, you only have to learn that, ideally anyway, you only have to learn that stuff once.
Sure.
So, but I don't know if it's definitely hasn't affected it negatively, I don't think.
Sure. I guess another thing for me, like, for instance, is when I was vlogging back with the band, picking mm-hmm. like the perfect song to fit a mood was like such a big deal for me.
Yeah.
And I would like spend hours on SoundCloud like trying to find a clip. And I think like if I didn't have that musical background where I wasn't, you know, too specific on what I wanted, then it would have been like an easier process and I would have been able to just push it out. So
yeah, kind of being a bit of a perfectionist in that case.
Again,
and it does make a big difference too, like picking the right song is huge. I think I got over that quick, and not only because of my music background, but because I have a music background working with lots and lots of clients and understanding when to say that it's done. And
sure.
And understanding the difference between putting out something perfect and putting out something that's ready. And so yeah. I've been through that process, and I feel like a lot of people, if they haven't worked on, let's say they're moving from, like you're talking about, moving from being a musician to moving to being more of a videographer or whatever it happens to be, if you weren't settled into being a musician or weren't working at it in a professional sense, let's say it was more of a hobby thing or something like that, maybe you wouldn't have worked through a lot of those things. But I felt like moving into video was just such a seamless transition because everything that I had already been through, like when I went to make my first video, I was like, immediately I knew, it's like, I need to make 3 videos and not post them just to get practice. And
sure.
Then when I made the first vlog that I posted, I could see some flaws in it. And I was like, totally cool with putting it up. Obviously I was nervous to some extent and didn't know what people were going to think about it, but yeah, it was just kind of like I right off the bat definitely understood the done not perfect thing. Now picking music
yeah.
is still difficult, and I wish that I had more time to make more of the music that goes into
yeah.
my vlogs, but I have one of those subscription non-copyright
oh,
things
cool.
that I go through the library, and sometimes I get frustrated because they don't have exactly what I'm looking for and
sure.
that kind of thing. But yeah, so that's kind of the transition was significantly smoother than I thought it would be anyway.
Nice. Yeah,
yeah.
And I guess again, going back to that, the Zen video you made, it's almost like you went from this job where getting something done right and correct for a client is really important to a creative space where it's like, you put it out when you're ready. Like, it's not this huge weight to get it done on a certain time or something. It's more about like, I'm happy with that video. That was fun. Let's, you know, let's post it.
Yeah. So, yeah, totally. Cool. Yeah, and I play a fine line with that. I'm pretty serious about my Monday morning new video deadline. So it's like I make sure I have a new video every week. But that's if I was really, really efficient with it, I could probably push out two videos a week, but I give myself the once a week because I know I'm not efficient with it.
Yeah.
And then it allows me to have more fun with it, like you said, like to really like know when it feels good and put that out, kind of thing. And there have been times when I've started a video and got halfway through editing and being just like, no, this isn't good. And doing once a week allows me a little bit of flexibility.
Yeah, that buffer.
Exactly. Cool. Yeah. I definitely am not as efficient as I'd like to be. And someday, hopefully I can push to be more and to get out more content, because the more I put out, the more people seem to react. So.
Cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you're saying, are you getting like more video opportunities? Like, are you being hired on to do shoots and things like that?
Yeah, a little bit here and there. It was something that really early on, it started to happen really quickly. When people that I knew found out that I was doing video and saw some of the work that I was putting out early on, they started asking me to do stuff. So I shot a couple music videos and I started doing more work for my business. So I'm now doing all the like media creation for the school and the studio that I own and I work at, which is kind of cool. And there have been a couple opportunities to do some kind of more commercial work. So I did an advertisement for an airline. So they flew me from Edmonton to, I forget, Kamloops or something, and back, just all in one day to like film this like Halloween promotion that they wanted done. And yeah, it was like kind of cool little stuff. And it's funny, it's slowed down a lot, and I don't mind. My kind of approach to it at the start was to kind of just take on whatever I could and try everything. Like, I wanted to try and do a commercial, and I wanted to try and do music videos, and I wanted to try and do vlogs and try and do tutorials and just a little bit of everything so that I could find what I really liked. I knew I liked using my camera and creating videos, but I didn't know exactly what it looked like for me. So I was just trying everything, and lots of stuff would come up at first, and it's slowed down quite a bit now, which is kind of funny, and it's nice because I get to focus more on my stuff, which I think is the direction that I'm headed more. I like picking up a thing here and there that's, you know, a fun little extra that maybe has a cool paycheck with it too, but for the most part, it's, you know, it's slowed down a bit, and I get to focus on what I do.
Cool. Yeah, so is your focus more so than not on getting those jobs, but more sort of becoming an influencer or sort of your own sort of personal brand? Is that more of your goal with where your channel is headed and your Instagram and things like that?
It has been lately, for sure. Yeah, I've seen a little bit of the impact that I'm having. I didn't really know at first, and I didn't put any labels on it or any goals on it at first because I had no idea what that looked like. So I didn't say, you know, I want to be an influencer, or I'm just making videos so that I can get more commercial jobs, which is like, I know some people who have done stuff like that, and it's working out really well. I was chatting with a guy yesterday who said, like, you know, he put out a couple of videos and then started getting hired to do YouTube videos for these other channels and paid for it and that kind of stuff. And that's sweet. But what I've noticed lately is, like, I tried a bunch of things. People were really happy with the products. They're like, I'll come back to you next time or whatever. But I've been noticing more of an impact coming from my channel. I started using Amazon affiliates, and that's been going really well. So I'm actually making a little bit of money on the side from the videos that I'm making, as well as now I just crossed over the 1,000 subscriber thousand hour threshold or whatever.
Man.
So, and
cool.
Then actually just this morning, actually I crossed over 2000 subscribers too. So that was kind of crazy.
Oh, wow.
All in a month, but
exponential, man. That's
yeah.
Awesome.
It's nuts. But yeah, so I'm seeing that kind of growth and I'm seeing what can possibly happen from just me making content that I love to make. And
yeah.
So I've been pushing a little bit more in that direction lately because I'm seeing that what it can be and that I don't have
yeah.
to necessarily answer to a client to get a paycheck, which is cool.
Nice.
And then on top of that, I'm just not taking the video stuff too seriously because I know I have my like career, but it's this weird middle place where I'm not getting rid of the fact that I could make money, but I'm not like pushing it too hard and like I don't want to wear myself out. I don't want to turn it into something that I'm tired of.
Sure. And I think it's so cool, like you're helping people. And I think just because you're coming from that space where you don't necessarily need to do the YouTube thing, it's more of something for yourself,
mm-hmm.
that you're coming across as way more authentic and just like people can see that you're happy doing it. And so I think it's even more inviting. And that's something I sort of run into with a lot of clients of mine when we talk social media and when we talk sort of content creation. Obviously, we live in a world where consistent quality content, or not even quality, I mean, that's subjective, but like consistent content is sort of key to
yeah.
stay in front of people in the quick world we live in. And so many of my clients just don't care enough to do it. And even if I push them to start a blog or start a YouTube channel, they don't seem like they care. And so I think it's hard to connect with an audience, with customers, with clients of theirs, because if you don't care about what you're doing, then the people watching or reading aren't going to care. So
yeah.
I think that's a really cool sort of perspective you have going into it is, and I guess, again, that's what that Zen video was kind of about. It was like, I'm glad you're enjoying it, but it's for me. So
yeah.
whether you like it or not, like I'm enjoying it. So I'm going to keep doing it type thing.
Yeah. I mean, the one of the things that I think I've probably heard this 100 times is like, if you make something that you enjoy, there are enough people out there who are like you that are going to enjoy it anyway. So just
sure.
make something that you like. And then, you know, the followers will come if you keep doing it and it's good quality stuff. Again, quality being subjective. But I mean quality from a value standpoint more
yeah.
so than like a crispy 4K
yeah.
standpoint.
Beautifully designed.
Yeah. Yeah, it's like if you're making something that you like, there's somebody out there that's like you. There are probably hundreds of thousands of people that are like you that are going to find that eventually if you make enough of it and will enjoy it the same way that you do. So and like you said, you come off way more authentic. I love when I'm watching YouTube videos from people that you can tell are just like super into what they're doing and it's not just a paycheck for them or it's, I mean, on YouTube, it never starts out as a paycheck. And if it is, I think people need to check what they're doing because it's probably
yeah.
not the best way to get a paycheck.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I just think that's super cool.
Thank you.
You know, speaking more to, I guess, my audience here and maybe yours as well, coming from, you know, a small business and entrepreneur side of things. And again, obviously, this is more fun for you and you're building real relationships, which is probably way more fun than forcing relationships, which a lot of companies try to do.
Yeah.
But how important do you think it is for companies to stay on top of social media, digital marketing, and understand how to talk to people where they are? Like, for instance, like a lot of companies will come to me and be like, I don't understand Instagram, so I won't use it. But their audience might literally be like people between 18 and 24, you know, which is like almost perfect for Instagram or, you know, even
yeah.
up into the 30s. And so how important do you think it is to stay up with the times? And is that something that you try to do?
Yeah, I think it's really important in that you need to understand what you're missing out on if you're deciding not to do it. And you have to have
cool.
a good reason not to do it. Like, for example, I really hate Snapchat, so I don't have a Snapchat.
Me too.
and I get, like, you know, everyone who watches Gary Vee knows that you should be on Snapchat because he says it, so like it's this huge thing. And I mean, you can watch the numbers all you want and decide which social media is growing and not, but I think I push mostly in the direction that not only it makes sense from a marketing standpoint, but also from like something that I'm actually going to enjoy doing. And this is just like, because the video stuff is more of a personal thing and is not based around, like, obviously, like, Resonate Music, my business, my career is, we're kind of everywhere, and mostly actually Facebook, which is another platform that I really personally hate, but luckily I don't have to do a lot of the Facebooking for that. That's one of my partners deals with that. So, for my personal stuff, yeah, it's like there's a balance, I think. You know, there's this push for you to be everywhere and be on every platform and that kind of thing. And I can see the value in that, but I also think you're going to burn yourself out so fast if you try and do that, especially on platforms, if you don't really understand them or like them and that kind of thing. And so I try and balance it out a little bit and do the ones that I really enjoy, but push really hard on those ones.
Yeah, definitely. And I think your point earlier about it just being important that if a company, if a person decides to not be on social media, don't let that be because of ignorance or something. Like, still understand, you know, what it can do for your company and the audience that usually resides on that platform, but just be aware of those things before you make that choice. Because I agree with you. I don't think every platform is for everyone. I think if you can be on every platform, like if you have a team around you or something that can sort of dish out the content. But yeah, that's cool. And that's something I've been really trying to figure out with my new company, is where to spend my time and what to double down on. And I'm actually finding that YouTube and Facebook are like the two for me in this area. Because Instagram is literally my favorite app, like, for social media stuff, but I just don't have my audience really on Instagram. So it's okay to like upload and post, but I don't want to spend the time and the effort to really try to gain the biggest following there. But I also understand what it could do for me. So
yeah, it's a tough one. Instagram is a good one for if you're specifically in photography, videography, that kind of stuff, because it's like purely a visual medium.
Sure.
But the downsides of it is that you have no direct linking. Nobody wants to go to your bio to click it. I'm pushing. I got to get 10K. So all the people watching this, go follow me on Instagram. Yeah.
Dude, and I got to get
swipe up.
Something like that.
I'm just about 7K right now, and I've got some things in place that I am trying to grow and that kind of stuff. So
cool.
So far so good. It's been growing like crazy, but and lots of people coming over from Instagram and Instagram Messenger, like the direct message on Instagram. I really like that. I connect with like everybody there. It's a little easier than like in the comment section on YouTube, so people can message me there and ask questions, and like I'm constantly like trying to help people and answering every comment that someone puts on one of my photos, and like really trying to engage with the community that's kind of built around my content. So
cool. So has your growth been just on those platforms, or did you bring anyone over? Like, for YouTube, for instance, was that more so because of the right kinds of videos and just people catching you on YouTube, or did you sort of bring over a following from maybe some of the music stuff that you'd done in the past?
It's totally ground up. Yeah, it didn't really, like, I think when I first put out my first couple of videos, it was like friends and family kind of watching and that kind of thing. But after that, like, it shifted pretty quickly from like looking at my analytics and stuff from being like all from Canada, and then all of a sudden it was like, oh, now most of the people watching my videos are from the States, and that number just kept getting more and more, to the point now where like it goes like US and then Germany and then UK and then India and then Canada, like
cool.
home base is like the last people watching my video.
That's crazy.
So, it's kind of nuts. Yeah. So I think of course, when you put out something new, the people that know you, if you're making it public, the people that know you are going to check it out and stuff. But it's not really, I don't really expect any of my friends to watch my videos anymore because they don't, it's not something that they're interested in, and and they know me enough that they don't really need to watch my vlogs to know what's going on. And so it was totally, I didn't really pull anything from anywhere. Everything kind of, I didn't really have much of an Instagram following when I started YouTube, and then both of them have just been kind of growing at the same time. my Facebook hasn't grown very much at all.
Facebook's a tricky game, man, because that is where all your friends and family live. So, like, it's hard to get the traction there. But would you recommend to any business, any individual who's really passionate about something, would you recommend that they start a YouTube channel?
No. not to anyone. I think it has to be, it's kind of what we were talking about earlier, about it has to be the right platform for what you're doing.
Cool.
Content for the sake of content doesn't make sense. So if you're like, oh, I like vlogs, but I'm a, I don't know, jewelry store or something like that, like maybe a vlog doesn't make sense for you, kind of thing. Like maybe YouTube doesn't make sense. You really have to, like what we were talking about, you have to understand the platform. Maybe video is the way to go, but it might not be on YouTube. You know, maybe video on Facebook is better, or maybe just doing short videos on Instagram is better, that kind of thing. I don't think that YouTube's for everyone, but I do think it is for a lot of people. And it definitely, like, my having a YouTube channel based around, I mean, it started around kind of just like daily, or not daily, but like my life kind of thing. It was like vlogs talking about what I was up to, and then gradually getting into more of the like photography, videography stuff has grown my music business, which is, it seems funny, but it's just like I'm more visible. So figuring out how your business can become more visible in an efficient way so that you're not burning out over it, I think is really what's important. So I, as far as like a blanket statement, I wouldn't say that starting a YouTube channel is for everybody, but I do think that there are a lot of benefits for a lot of people on it.
Awesome. Yeah, and that's actually kind of a question I skipped over was, have you gotten any like new business connections even through music just by doing like this YouTube stuff, this Instagram stuff? Like, have you gotten people saying like, oh my gosh, dude, I'm a, you know, recording artist and I need somebody to, you know, mix this for me or whatever it might be?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, it's I'm so visible right now.
That's awesome.
And I think that's
so cool.
You know, if you think about like what billboards used to do, it was just top of mind marketing. Like, you just wanted to make sure that everyone was thinking about you all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And I am super annoying because I post once a week at least, you know, some kind of like advertisement essentially saying, go watch my new thing. So people, and every once in a while, maybe someone will click on it. And so I think people are constantly thinking of me. So as soon as it comes time to record something or mix something or shoot a video or whatever, they're just going to think of the first person who they recently saw. So the fact that I'm putting out consistent content, no matter what platform it's on, I think is making it so that all of my business ventures are growing.
That's great. Yeah, and it's so true. And I just think it's the way of 2018, is the way of this era, right? Like, it's funny how many billboards I see, and I just kind of laugh because I wonder how much money they spent on that, and they probably haven't spent a single dollar on like Facebook ads or Instagram ads. And I don't know, I mean, billboards are still, you know, valuable, and I'm sure it definitely works where I'm from, but that's always just been funny to me, sort of what is falling by the wayside and where everyone is spending their time and their eyes basically on the internet.
Totally. So, and understanding that, and that's why there are marketing companies and PR firms and those kinds of things. That's why they exist, because they're, you know, and the ones that are doing well are the ones who understand where the world is going, not where the world has been.
That's right. And I think that's the thing with being an entrepreneur, is you sort of have to take on those duties. And so the question earlier, like, is it important for startups, for entrepreneurs, to know these trends and things? And I think it's all part of, like we were saying earlier before that, like being a business, even when you might just be following a passion, or if you're in a band, you still have to know like where are people spending their time, and you have to be there in front of them. So that's cool.
Absolutely.
So, all right, let's sort of wrap it up here. I think we've been going for a good amount of time, and this has been super cool. I appreciate it, man.
Hey, no worries. Thanks for having me on.
Any opinion or advice on quitting your day job to pursue a passion or like an entrepreneurial path?
Be smart about it. I think that it can be something that at some point you have to decide to do. you have to create your own opportunities and then get the ball rolling, but yeah. You also don't want to like be dumb about it.
Yeah.
Like if when we started Resonate, if it didn't make sense, if we didn't figure out a way for it to make sense, if we were going to be homeless in a year, I wouldn't have jumped into it, you sure. know, and we wouldn't have made that decision. But I think if you can logically figure it out, even if it's going to be tough, if you can get the ball rolling, then I think it has the potential. But the advice is just to be smart about it. Yeah. I guess it's kind of a cheap cop out. I guess everyone wants to be like, don't do it, it's a terrible idea, yeah. or like, yeah, go for it. And I'm like, nah, try.
But it's funny but yeah. because we live in a world now where like the, you know, especially in America, like the economy is great, and it's true that a lot of people are working from their home, like working on mm-hmm. just doing YouTube, like, and so I think we've sort of grown up and been told like, yeah, you can make a living making like wooden things in your house and putting them on YouTube. And so I think we're getting this mindset, especially in the younger generation, of it's totally possible to not get a job. And like, I think people sort of go into that blindly and they don't understand what all that means. And it's easy yeah. to fail quickly and then revert to desk job, you know?
Yeah.
So I think that's totally. That's definitely true. I was put in a situation where I was leaving a job and it was either get another desk job or try for a little while on doing my own thing. And mm-hmm. I think, like you said, being smart about it and understanding your budget, your money situation enough to say, okay, at the end of this amount of time, if I'm not at this level, then maybe I need to start, you know, thinking about other things. So
totally. Yeah. One of my business partners was very much the same. He had just been like totally screwed over on his last job and yeah. like went to, where did he go? New Zealand or something like that. And like went on some big trip. And then when he came home, he's like, hey, either we're doing this now or we're not doing it. And so, yeah, we went into it.
Sure. Yeah. So cool, man. Any piece of advice for an entrepreneur, small business owner, YouTuber that you can give, I guess, generic or specific?
I guess the biggest thing would just be to make sure that you enjoy the process. You know, we keep referring to my Zen and the Art of YouTube video. And just like enjoying what you're doing, and that doesn't have to be like do the thing that you most love for a career, but sure. just like make sure that whatever you're doing, you find some joy in it. Because otherwise, like we were talking about earlier, like it'll come off inauthentic. You'll be burnt out all the time. Like find some joy in the process of it, and if that means that it's, you know, building a business, then great. And if that means your desk job and you like that kind of work, then that's great too. And just make sure that you find some joy in it. Otherwise, what's the point?
Cool. Definitely. That's awesome, man. Yeah. So, Justin, I appreciate it, man. Thanks for being on the show here.
Hey, no worries.
Where can people find you, follow you, see your awesome work?
Yeah, it's everything is Dunna Did It. Dunna Did It. And it's youtube.com/DunnaDidIt. Instagram is at Dunna Did It. Facebook, Twitter, everywhere. So check it out. And yeah, all my links are all over the place on those ones. So
perfect. Cool, man. Well, I really appreciate it. And I hope we can talk more in the future, work more in the future.
Absolutely.
It'd be cool. I've never been to Canada before, so I might have to take
there
a trip.
There you go.
Yeah,
you got to get up here. Come when it's warm.
Yeah, when it's warm. Well, maybe when it's cold. I mean, I hear the mountains are beautiful and snowboarding and all that great
stuff.
That's
true. So. Yeah.
Cool. All right, man. Well, I appreciate it. Thank you all very much for watching. This is Justin McDonough, also known as Dunna Did It. And go check out all of his stuff. He's amazing. And if you couldn't tell, he's blowing up, in my opinion. So go give his stuff a watch, a listen. And he's got a lot of helpful stuff out there. So cool. Thank you guys so much for watching. I'll see you next time. Peace. Hey everyone, thanks for watching this week's episode of The Bedroom Entrepreneur. If you'd like to find out more about me and what I do, you can check me out over at spencerpughmedia.com. Or if you'd just like to follow along with the podcast, feel free to follow us on Apple Podcasts, Anchor, Overcast, wherever you listen to your normal podcasts. Also, if you have any suggestions on who I should have on the show, let me know by following me over at Twitter at SpencerPugh_, and let me know all your thoughts, comments, and opinions over there. Thanks again for watching, and I'll see you next time. Peace.